Getting in touch. Schrödinger writes, "We cannot make any factual statement about a given natural object or physical system without getting in touch with it. This touch is a real physical interaction, even if it consists only in looking at the object. We get in touch with an object when, like an artist, we are touched by it, which is to say, when we experience the object within ourselves." Schrödinger comments, "Matter is an image in our mind." Quantum physics is linking the subjective and objective domains into a higher, more coherent synthesis. In Schrödinger's words, "In perception and observation, subject and object are inextricably interwoven, their influence being unavoidably mutual, their relationship a true interaction." It is not just that we affect the universe through our act of observing it. We ourselves are reciprocally affected. To quote Wheeler, "Anything that affects something else must, in turn, be affected by that something else." To say this differently, we can't touch without being touched. This reminds me of how in the realm of the psyche, it is impossible to see the unconscious, be it inside or outside of us, and not have that seeing affect the unconscious, which, as if coming full circle, simultaneously impacts our consciousness. In the act of observation, the subjective and objective domains reciprocally co-create each other as their difference becomes blurred. To quote the Dalai Lama, "Once you do away with any possibility of grounding epistemology in a truly existing external world, or internal world for that matter, then the only option you have is to develop an epistemological system where there is a mutual dependence between subject and object." The subject and object, like any parts of the universe, are interconnected, interdependent, and reciprocally co-arise. One doesn't exist without the other. As we go down the quantum physics rabbit hole, the mysterious boundary between the subjective and objective becomes fuzzier and more uncertain. When we slowly take off our eyeglasses, for example, how far must we move them before they are an object, rather than part of the observer? Where does the observer begin and end? Schrödinger comments, "The world is given to me only once, not one existing and one perceived. Subject and object are only one. The barrier between them cannot be said to have broken down as a result of recent experience in the physical sciences, for this barrier does not exist. In our ordinary state of consciousness, we have developed a chronic, habitual, and unconscious pattern of actively erecting and maintaining a seeming boundary between subject and object that does not actually exist. We don't have to get rid of the barrier between the subject and object because, as Schrödinger reminds us, this barrier is illusory. Not only that, we ourselves are creating and then falling for this illusion. In this process, we are tricking ourselves out of our own mind." Heisenberg writes that a complete separation of the observer from the phenomenon to be observed is no longer possible. We are simply asked to see through and recognize the nature of our situation in which the observer is the observed. We are invited to recognize ourselves in what is being observed. Upon closer inspection, for example, atoms dissolve into a mysterious, little-known deeper structure that ultimately merges with the field of the whole universe. Even the instruments we use to try and observe atoms and their effects are themselves composed of atoms, which similarly merge into the universal field. Going further down the rabbit hole, we ourselves, with our brains and nervous systems, have a similar constitution. So if we step into a deep enough point of view, we, in our act of observation, are in a sense like that which we observe. Atoms are made out of and are crystallizations of the very awareness that is observing them. Instead of falling prey to Whitehead's fallacy of misplaced concreteness, in superimposing an imaginary solidity onto a fluid universe that is continuously in flux, which will conjure up the universe to simply reflect back to us this seeming concreteness, we can allow the universe to reveal and glorify its dreamlike synchronistic nature. The more we see the dreamlike nature of the universe, the more dreamlike the universe will reveal itself to be. This is a creative and creativity-generating feedback loop, the activation of which brings forth what can be thought of as a higher technology of mind. The more I deepen my research into quantum physics, the more indistinguishable it becomes from a spiritual path. To quote Einstein, I am of the opinion that all the finer speculations in the realm of science spring from a deep religious feeling, and that without such feeling, they would not be fruitful. And like spiritual adepts, the true practitioners of physics, single-mindedly, practically religious in their devotion, focus their attention on their discipline. Commenting on his contemplations about physics, Feynman simply says, "I can't stop." Similarly, Wheeler, who refers to the universe as our museum of wonder and beauty, our cathedral, lets his mind run free over the nature of space and time. He confesses, "I have to admit that I never stop thinking about physics." Physics clearly took hold of, and in Wheeler's words, fired up his imagination, using him as one of the instruments of its realization in our world of space and time. Reminiscent of Jung's process of active imagination, after Einstein's death, Wheeler even published an imaginary dialogue that he had with the esteemed physicist. Every spiritual wisdom tradition from time immemorial has pointed out in its own creative way that grasping onto the idea of intrinsic independent existence, both in the seemingly objective outer world and within the subjective domain of our own selves, is the fundamental mental affliction, the root cause of our self-created delusion with all of its concomitant suffering. Clinging onto the idea that we exist in a way that we simply do not is a deeply entrenched, unconscious disposition, a habitual pattern that at a certain point gains enough momentum to develop a seeming autonomy such that it regenerates itself, as we invest our life force into an illusory identity and unconsciously recreate and defend it moment by moment. It should be pointed out that this is a widespread form of madness that afflicts our species. These same spiritual wisdom traditions point out that the realization of what in Buddhism is called emptiness, the lack of intrinsic independent objective existence of both the outer world as well as ourselves, is the fundamental cure for our psychic dis-ease. In Buddhism, emptiness denotes the ultimate ground and nature of reality. Once the delusion of an objectively existing world is seen through and overcome, we are much more capable of generating great compassion for all beings, as there is a deeper sense of the interconnectedness of all of life. In discovering that there is no objective world out there and no objective subject in here, quantum physics is discovering the medicine or fundamental cure for the psycho-spiritual illness that ails our species. In so doing, quantum physics is promoting itself to the ranks of a spiritual wisdom tradition.